Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places and Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition, and we are in mid-June. Yes, this first 103 degree day here in sunny Southern California. Well, really Central California, but let's see, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I got a lot of news items, and I think we're going to take a segment and talk about replacement theology. Yeah, theology, which is really, well, we'll get to it. So if anyone knows anything about replacement theology, I would like you to call in when we begin that discussion. Well, I sent out a notification about 10 minutes ago. Nobody's looked at their email yet, but we are here. Okay, and there is no one in the chat room with me, but I'm sure that we'll get a few people coming in there sooner or later. Let's see. Well, let's look at some news items then. Breaking news here. For many South Korean Christians, reunification is a religious goal. So we got the whole thing going on there with Donald Trump and President Kim over there. Well, you know, I got to hand it to him. All of his tough talk about Rocket Man and so forth seems to have yielded some results. And, you know, I tell you, I'm very satisfied as I can be with the president that earns $1 a year over there, as the first guy in the White House in my lifetime that refused the salary of a president and decided to work for $1 a year. So you go, what's his motivation? Not like the rest of them. All their motivation was to get rich. So, you know, say what you want about this guy. I think that his motivation is genuine. Even, you know, as a fallible a man as he is, seems to be doing well for him. Maybe God is honoring his heart, and because he seems like he's the first true guy we've seen in there. And I know a lot of people don't like him. Probably most people don't like him from what I hear in the news. I got nothing against the guy. You know, it's like, God forgave me of my sins, and brought me to repentance. So I hope that the same for Donald Trump. So we'll just keep our eye on him. I'm hoping that that he'll make it for a second term, because frankly, I hate to see what the alternative is out there. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got here. I'm trying, just looking for Christian headlines. This is like my first mid-June show for the summer. It really gets too hot in my studio, but it's not too hot this morning yet in the summertime. J.D. Greer is ready to give the Southern Baptists a makeover. So they got a new head of the Southern Baptist Convention over there. Don't know what that means. Hopefully it'll be a good thing. I like this one. My daughter liked this one. She's a horse lover. She's a horse woman, trainer, all that stuff. Jockey Mike Smith thanks my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, after winning the Triple Crown. So we don't pay much attention to what's news in the news in our household. So I didn't even realize that today until I started looking for headlines that this jockey thanked his Lord and Savior. Yeah. Another sports celebrity says God is great. And this is Golden State. So I guess that would be California. Yeah. They call it the Golden State. Steph Curry says, after another NBA title. So you got a few people out there, shouting out for God. And I just pray that they're all genuine and all part of the elect out there, you know, getting a little word in edgewise out there in a world of croaking frogs. preparing for the great day of the battle of God Almighty. The voice of God's people might be heard for those who want to hear it. Twitter CEO seems to like Chick-fil-A. You know, I've never been to a Chick-fil-A, never even seen a Chick-fil-A in my life. I guess that means I don't get around much. In the locality where I am, I guess there just are no Chick-fil-A's, but they sure make the news. And so anyway, the Twitter CEO, I mean, Twitter is notorious for being Antichrist, basically, from what I've heard, but you know, the people that run it there. The CEO of Twitter got attacked for tweeting about Chick-fil-A, so I guess he likes the food. Leave him alone. It's okay, you know. Chick-fil-A is not being sacrificed to idols. You can buy it safely. And probably maybe some of the most trustworthy food out there. At least I would hope so. Can't speak from experience, because as I said, I've never even seen a Chick-fil-A. Okay. What else we got going here? Yeah. It's a lonely morning. Okay. 3,000-year-old sculpture depicts a biblical king, but which one? Well, I gotta check this article out here. I'm curious. A team of archaeologists digging through a site in Israel has uncovered a 2-inch carving of a head that lightly depicts a biblical king, although experts aren't sure which one it is. You know, I could hear the critics now. Let me put this on the screen here so y'all can see it. But they aren't sure which one. Well, how do they know it's a biblical king? I don't know. See, I'm playing the critical role now. How do they know that it's a biblical king? Well, can't say as I know. Well, let's see if they tell us that. Give us a hint as to why they would think it's a biblical king. I can't tell you who it looks like because, you know, I haven't seen the pictures of any biblical kings. Have you? Photographs? Nope, I don't think so. The tiny sculpture is around 3,000 years old. Okay, that'd be about the 9th century BC, they say. Time when Israel was split into two kingdoms. It was found at the biblical site of Abel Beth Maacah, which is mentioned in the Bible at least three times, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and 2 Samuel, by teams from Azusa Pacific University and Hebrew University of Jerusalem. The head is now on display at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. Abel Beth Maacah was the crossroads of three kingdoms, Israel, Tyre, and Aram Damascus. Despite the head's small and innocuous appearance, it provides us with a unique opportunity to gaze into the eyes of a famous person from the past. Well, I don't know if you're quite gazing into anybody's eyes there, but a little overstatement there. Enshrined in the Book of Ages, says Robert Mullins, lead archaeologist at the site, professor at Azusa Pacific. Not sure. Is that a Christian college or not? I don't know. Given that the head was found in a city that sat on the border of three different ancient kingdoms, we do not know whether it depicts the likes of King Ahab of Israel, King Hazael of Aram Damascus, or King Ethbaal of Tyre, rulers known from the Bible and other sources. The head represents a royal enigma. The head measures 2.2 by 2 inches and features glossy back tresses. Tresses hand-painted in yellow and black and manicured beard, according to his almond-shaped eyes and pupils are lined in black, and pursed lips give him a look that is part pensive, part stern. It reads, the glazed surface is tinted light green due to the addition of copper to the quartz paste. Its elegant style indicates that the man was a distinguished personage, probably a king. By all appearances, the head appears to have been broken off from the body of a figurine that stood 8 to 10 inches high. So, I got a video there. I'm not going to play it, but there's a shot of it. So apparently it seems to be the figurine of a king or something. So that's all they know, and that's probably all they're ever going to know. And until we, till the resurrection, then we'll know. I don't know if we'll care. I practically don't care now. Okay, there you go. YouTube screen capture. Yeah. Okay, no comments there on that one. So let's go back and see what other headlines we have. That's what we're going to do, since True News went TV and throughout radio. Well, we don't have True News anymore, so I guess I have to do some True News now to kind of replace them. Maybe it'll be better. I don't know. It's easier than a lot of the stuff that I have been doing, I'll tell you that much. Okay, my reflections on the Singapore summit. Well, I'm kind of interested in what they have to say about the Singapore summit. Jim Dennison, Forum on Truth and Culture. So let's see what he has to say. Nice to meet you, Mr. President. With these words, Kim Jong-un shook hands with Donald Trump as the two made history in Singapore. Before the summit, the sitting heads of the United States and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea had never met. I wonder how democratic they are. Not that democracy is a really great thing, but because democracy, you get to vote once and then you're done. So that's not much better than a dictatorship, because you vote who gets to dictate over you. And of course, who puts up those who you get to dictate over you? You have practically no say into that, because I believe it's all controlled. And so I don't bother voting. Anyway, continuing on here. The summit began Tuesday morning in Singapore, lasted for 4 hours. The two met before a row of alternating U.S. and North Korean flags and sat down for a 38-minute one-on-one meeting. Their top advisors then joined them for another 2 hours of talk. The delegations concluded by sharing lunch together. Afterward, Mr. Kim announced, "The world will see a major change." So we can't wait to see that major change. We're going to have a great discussion, Mr. Trump told reporters at the outset of the summit. We're going to have a great discussion. It's my honor, and we will have terrific. He loves those words like terrific and great. But anyway, better than that last president we had, or the one we would have had. So I'd rather hear terrific and great than all that other stuff we heard before. He says, we will have a terrific relationship, I have no doubt. Mr. Kim added that old prejudices and practices worked as obstacles on our way forward, but we overcame all of them, and we are here today. Good for you, Mr. Kim. The two signed a joint statement in which President Trump committed to provide security guarantees to the North Korean government, and Chairman Kim Jong-un reaffirmed his firm and unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. So the document makes four specific statements. The two nations will commit to establish new relations. Two, they will join their efforts to build a lasting and stable peace regime in the North and the Korean Peninsula. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea commits to work toward complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. And four, the two nations commit to recovering POW/MIA remains, including the immediate repatriation of those already identified. So, looks like they're going to we're going to have peace. We don't have to worry about North Korea lobbing nukes that they probably don't have anyway over here. A nuclear deal, that's a pretty tough deal to initiate. And I'm not sure that most of it's not all hype anyway. There are conspiracy theories out there. Take them all with a grain of salt. The whole nuclear energy is somewhat shrouded in mystery, but that's another topic. Mr. Trump later told reporters that he and Mr. Kim would meet again many times. He added that he would invite Mr. Kim to visit the White House. According to the Wall Street Journal, perhaps the most important outcome was to open a channel between Mr. Trump and Mr. Kim and set the stage for more high-level negotiations over thorny issues like the pace of North Korea's denuclearization and verification process that the declaration says are slated to begin as soon as possible. A very important event in world history. At a press conference following the summit, Mr. Trump said that, a very important event in world history. He said he looked forward to lifting economic sanctions once nukes are no longer a factor and agreed to stop U.S.-South Korea war games. Well, that'll save us a few billion dollars this year, won't it? Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Speaking of a few billion dollars, I'm reading this and they got an ad for Social Security. 16 discounts for seniors, but Socialist Security, yeah. Talking about billions of dollars going down the hole. And anyway, so it goes on and on, and you can check out the article there. I'm reading this at christianheadlines.com if you're interested in that. Okay. Let's check the chat room. And Smokes in the chat room. yes, he says, what? No one in here afraid of being labeled a heretic or worse. I'm not even Catholic. Yeah. Okay. All right, Smoke. Good to see you in the chat room, and good to hear you on Sunday evenings, man. Keep up the good work there. Where's everybody else today? Oh, they must have all went on summer vacation. I should have stayed on vacation. Last week I was on vacation. No, actually I was just really busy with family things. So, and didn't have time to really prepare for a show. So that's why I wasn't here last week. And during the summer, I do a few less shows. It gets hot in here and in the studio here. And I don't have a, you know, $100,000 air conditioning system in my $500,000 studio here. So, yes. Yeah, I got green screen. See, my background is not, that's not what's really there. Okay, let's see. Yeah, we got a phone number if you want to call in, Smoke. You're welcome here. I'm not going to talk about my topic, which is going to be replacement theology. Yeah, until the second hour. And if you got something to say about replacement theology, we'll save it for the second hour. I would be glad to hear from you. And I have a cat in my room too. Let's see. Next, what's next on our news roster here? Yeah, let's see, we talked about that. Trump and Kim, North Korea, all of that. Let's see what else. We got other sites here. Or maybe we do, or maybe we don't. California's deadly STD epidemic sets records. Yes, California is in the middle of a new drought. That's right. We got so little rainfall this last summer, and Governor Moonbeam, the Jesuit governor of California, yes, and he actually is a Jesuit, and not just an accusation, okay? He said that the United States and California, because it had a five-year drought, is under judgment because Donald Trump withdrew from climate change. Isn't that just what a Jesuit would say? The Pope would say that. Well, he is a Jesuit too. So he blames Donald Trump for all of California's woes, and he says that it's God's judgment because he withdrew from the climate change. Okay? Now, how about because you're forcing children into gender confusion in the public schools? How about because you're being a dictator who decided that everyone has to be pumped full of poisons, especially if they go to public school? You're getting the idea about the whole public school thing here and all the abominable legislation. I believe that's why California is under judgment. Yeah, I really do. It's because, not because of Donald Trump withdrawing from climate control. You know, that's your God over there in the Vatican that would execute that kind of judgment in California for that kind of sin. Because that's not a sin against the God of the Bible to withdraw from nonsense, right? Where other countries get to take advantage of us and pollute all they want while we suffer the consequences and pay for it or whatever. Yes, I think the president did a good thing. But any judgment on California, well, just look to the legislature and the governor himself and see what they've been busy doing. And then you'll understand. And the people go along with it, I guess. I don't know. I guess they do for the most part. I don't. I like the land. This is God's good green earth here. Well, it's green part of the year here anyway. And I like the land, and I like the mountains, and I think it's a nice place to live on the land here. The government don't really care too much for it. Of course, since when, you know, because Satan really rules in the governments of men. They all corrupt, and as the saying goes, that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and whatever their level of power they have, their level of corruption will be commensurate. So let's not be surprised. Governor Moonbeam got it wrong. Of course, yeah. Anyway, moving on. Let's see what else we have here. The controversial video features TV hosts talking to children about gay pride. Yes, can you imagine the little children being confused? And there's why we have our judgment on California. They got an initiative going in California. I think it's going to make the the ballot this year. At least they have enough signatures, so unless they can kick it off for some other reason, we have the Three Californias initiative. Now, that ought to help things out a little bit. At least we won't be governed over here in the Central Valley by Sacramento. And I don't know. Where this thing goes. I guess I'm going to have to look into that. Maybe I'd look it up right now. Three Californias initiative. I just heard about it on the news here earlier. Let's see. Three Californias initiative. Let's try that. Okay. California split initiative qualifies for November ballot. Three Californias. Let's see what they say here. I should have gone. Well, we'll talk about the Three California initiatives when we come back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't go anywhere. The Book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.